Name is Sara Fonseca da Graça, also known as Petra Dot Preta. I'm 30 years old, I'm from Miratejo, Portugal, and also Cape Verde, and I'm a transdisciplinary artist. Enjoy!
On this season of Hunger and Art, our program delves into the lives and creative practices of visual artists, writers, actors, and intellectuals from Portugal or living in Portugal, particularly those who have African heritage or hail from the Global South. In the spirit of past seasons, guest host Brian Perkins sets the stage for a unique conversation featuring a wide range of creative practitioners and what they bring to contemporary art. Hunger and Art features thoughtful reflections and creative intervention. Hunger and Art, a place for conversation, experimentation, and research.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm good. I'm in a country where I don't really speak the language, and I'm learning, and everyone here has been so nice, you especially. Thank you for being part of the podcast. Thank you.
Oh no, thank you for bringing me here to your house.
Yeah, right?
Overseas.
This is my home away from home, I guess. But I'm here doing this podcast. I love art. I don't know anything about it. So I'm interested to know specifically where artists get their inspiration. Did you get it from, you know, being a child? Did you get it from your parents, school, what have you? We'll get to that. But first, I want to know all the nitty and the gritty. I want to know everything about Sara. You're from two different places, right? You identify as being from two different places. What are those two places?
I'm from Miratejo in Portugal, and I'm also Cape Verdean.
All right,
that's so my whole family.
Okay.
Is from there.
Where is Miratejo?
Miratejo.
Okay, yeah. Where is that?
Miratejo, actually, it's close to Lisbon, but mm-hmm. on the south side of the river Tejo.
Okay, so what's the significance of being from the south side?
There's a lot, because I'm in Portugal. Mm-hmm. I'm from the south, and on the world, I also from the south. So I kind of like that little thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, here you see the south side of Lisbon is, how do you say, it's not margin, periphery.
Mm, I know what you mean.
Not mm-hmm. the big city mm-hmm. Where the people go to sleep normally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then actually there's a lot of art and a lot of culture that comes from those places. Mm-hmm. They work when they arrive at the capital, at the center of everything. Mm-hmm. But it's strange how they seem to never connect those things, that culture, to the place where it actually came.
Do you feel like it's part of your mission to get people to see that, or to get people to feel that, to get people to connect?
Yes, I think, yeah, to get them to connect, evidently, because I work from that point, from my life, from my mm-hmm. stories. I'm trying to connect through that, and I'm showing my city. It's not a city, but mm-hmm. my little home. I don't need them to actually know the name or go there. Mm-hmm. It's not about that, but just these minds or these people, we are not all in the center of everything. Mm-hmm. And we try really hard to go there to get listened, mm-hmm. heard. Mm-hmm. That
do you feel like your voice, or do you feel like people that came from where you're from, do you feel like their voices aren't heard enough?
Yes, they only get heard when you get out of there, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not like physically, mm-hmm. but when you get projected to another place, mm-hmm. that's when they listen. If not, it's really, really hard. It's mm-hmm. That's the feeling that I get. Even on this path that we are doing, to trying to talk, trying to speak, everything that's around it, it's already intense, you mm-hmm. know.
Where does that drive come from to make your voice heard, that how you've always been from a child? Was there an event that happened in your life to really like, boom, make that explode from inside of you and to push it out into the world?
Yes, I guess everything that you said gets in, but in different phases and sometimes even a repetition mm-hmm. of some sort. But actually, the more recent one, let me start from more the present. It's been like six years, I think, that I've received a book from a really good friend of mine. It's a book from Audre Lorde. Mm-hmm. And the title is "Your Silence Will Not Protect You."
Ah.
And that is when, like, I gained a conscience of that. Mm-hmm. What was that to speak, mm-hmm. like, to say what you wanted to say, and what were the problems of not doing that mm-hmm. for you, mm-hmm. for me actually. But I think that when I was growing up, I have my both parents, they are very opinionative mm-hmm. and charismatic. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with that. Mm-hmm. I needed to do debates and stuff with them. So mm-hmm. it kind of grew a little bit naturally. Mm-hmm. And then when I have my group of friends starting to be a young girl, I was like, I wanted to do graffiti, and I saw a lot of things. I was starting, I had a huge passion for Basquiat mm-hmm. and also Banksy more, mm-hmm. the stencil and that message that was really clear to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, I want to do this. But mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what was, I would draw, make drawings mm-hmm. or do graffitis, but about what?
Right.
So the I wanted to speak that thing, to manifest, was mm-hmm. in me, but not completely conscious. So I was pushing it aside, keeping my diaries, mm-hmm. Painting diaries yeah. for just myself, mm-hmm. because I thought that I didn't have that message. Mm-hmm. I didn't knew what I wanted to speak.
What was it about the graffiti that caught your eye? What was it about the graffiti that spoke to you? And what was it about Basquiat that spoke to you, that like touched you here in your heart, or Banksy that touched you here in your mind? What was it?
Like everything, because Basquiat, it was one of the first black artists that I actually saw, that it was on the books. You see, mm-hmm. you got the Taschen editions at least here. Mm-hmm. Here, and those big books, those big places, and I think that he was the first one that I really like, I saw, and then the colors and the type of drawing mm-hmm. and painting that he did. I'm sure that I didn't understand what was he talking about, because I was very mm-hmm. little, but it was an expression that I just identified with, and I wanted to do something like that. These drawings, being a kid, mm-hmm. you see, it's kind of that naive style. Mm-hmm. And I felt really close to that. And then with Banksy, I was a little bit more older when I got to know him. And that's it, the message. Mm-hmm. It was more clear to me, even for the context where I was mm-hmm. growing up and my friends, everything. So it was more easy to connect. Maybe that's a little bit strange, but
no.
that's how it is. For me.
you see Banksy as a black artist. Do you consider as a black artist? You consider him a black artist?
No. Banksy? No.
Banksy, I'm sorry. Basquiat.
Basquiat, yeah. That was nice.
Sorry. Do you consider Basquiat a black artist? Do you consider yourself a black artist?
Yes. I think, I don't know if when we are saying this black artist, if we are talking about the same concept.
I want to know your concept, because in the United States, where I'm from, black artist is a reference to, you know, his skin color, and behind black is all the culture, right? This is what black means in America. I was like, well, what does black mean to you and your art and your message?
Yes, I think I've been thinking a lot about that, because I consume a lot of culture from the US, so, and it's not the same reality. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking a lot about exactly that, the black culture. I don't know where I saw it. Maybe a series where it's kind of a joke. It's not really serious, but they present these subjects to you. Being black, it was really close to this Afro-American thing because of the not knowing where you came. So you put the black culture in all of that, like the culture that you created because they took yours from you. Mm-hmm. And here, I'm not going to speak for Europe, right? Mm-hmm. In my Portuguese context, like I told you, I'm Cape Verdean. Mm-hmm. I know, obviously, Cape Verde had nobody and it was colonized. They brought, it was like the same story, but with that little difference, these people created an identity because there was nobody on that land. Mm-hmm. So, and I identify with that culture, with that country, with everything that I grew up with from Cape Verde. And so I think that I add that. I have conscious that there's some things that I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's also an ancient story, everything that's behind me that it was took also. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have a little bit of this story that they were able to make and already identify. And I think, maybe I'm speaking out of line here, but that maybe African Americans, you should, it's your place. Mm-hmm. But like the exterior, the other norm doesn't let you. It's constantly telling you you're not from here.
Yeah.
And when people in Portugal, they tell me you're not from Portugal, I always have that Cape Verde to go back to, even if I like front it and say, no, I'm Portuguese and stuff, but I have Cape Verde and I bring those symbols and everything with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about being a black artist.
I love that. I love all the layers of your definition of a black artist. I think there's a lot of, we can all speak out of line here because it's my podcast. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
Sarah can say whatever she wants. I wish I did have a backup. I wish I did have another place where I could say, okay, fine. You don't want me here. You don't think I'm from here. Well, I'm actually from there, but I don't. And there's a lot of other people like me that we don't. So I think it's amazing that you do have that place and that you can draw on that Cape Verde experience to create your art. Tell me more about your parents and tell me more about Cape Verde. I want to know, like, if I close my eyes, take me there, because I can feel a lot of Cape Verde coming from you, and I've never been there.
No.
So I imagine it as an incredibly vibrant place because of the people sitting across from you. But what else? What else do I need to know?
You need to know that you have 10 islands, 9 with people, and each one of those islands is very particular, and you will find different things. What can I? So many things. Yeah. You have the food.
Mm-hmm.
You have what people call murabeza.
Murabeza? Yes, yeah, murabeza.
It's like that, the well-receiving thing. You are here, you come to my house and I'll give you food, I'll dance with you. You see, there's a communion and you feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of the idea. And I think that actually you get it because I have also this double standard. I'm not from here, but when I go there, I'm also not from there. And it's obvious for people there that I didn't grow up there. So I also, and on that side, I also feel welcome when I'm not in that group in particular, you know. But I think that what you need to know about Cape Verde is just you will find different things and you will find your home in a place where it isn't your home. I think because you have really a lot of different scenarios.
I love it.
I could tell you a lot more, but then the interview would be just about Cape Verde.
Oh, no. That's what I want. So I'm on an island in Cape Verde, going back and forth, growing up partially there, partially here, I imagine. Take me through the things that would directly inspire your art. Are there beaches that you remember? Are there locations, buildings, specific people in your life, either Portugal or there, that would have an impact on the art that you create?
Everything. Also, that will be the first answer. No. Just a little thing. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of chances when I was growing up to go to Cape Verde.
Mm-hmm.
I went to meet the family, and when I did go, it was to São Vicente.
Okay.
Every time that I went was to that island. But it's been like five years that my mother has returned. And she's working, she's living there. And I went to join her and I spent like almost a year with her. And then I decided to go and meet the whole country. Yeah, it's missing me still two islands to okay. know, but the rest, it's all check, check. And I have a lot of things because that's, I think, from being from outside, being from Portugal and growing with my parents, they are from the same island in Cape Verde. I have like, I feel that I have a plus thing on the way of looking because you have a lot of conflict with the north and the south, as always. And my family is from the north. And you see, I grew up like with that conflict hearing. And now that I go and I live, I inhabit that space, I really feel like, Why is the conflict that you need to be able to look at the different things and find the unity in this? Because that's, for me, the thing that it's like magic. How, and I go to Fogo and I'm in Cape Verde, and then I go to São Vicente and I'm in Cape Verde, and they are completely different islands. You do different things. Even the Creole, it's different. So, but they all identify as Cape Verdean. So you have a lot of identities inside Cape Verde, as you have in every other place, right? So I really think that I profit from that. I don't have like that judgmental thing or that story background that, and that allows me to, when I went, I have to respond now to your question. I have the black beaches in Santiago and in Fogo. I have the carnival and the more warm fall because it's my family island in São Vicente. I have the walks and the best food that I ever had in Santo Antão. Like the music from Brava and the poetry from Brava Island. And I brought them. I brought every little
piece.
Memory, little piece to my work.
Love it.
I'm not from Brava. I'm not even from São Vicente, but I feel Cape Verdean. And like if you, when I go there, the people that I speak to, if you are not being able to see how you are beautiful all together, man, I can see you. Let me try and show you. That's what I feel. And also from Portugal, this is Miratejo. And I have people that I work with, young people in schools. I learn every day from them, and they are really, really a big, big part in my work because they say a lot of things, they give me ideas, and actually those phrases, they appear on my drawings sometimes and my things, yes, because they are really a big influence on me that I love being with them, with kids. So
what are some of the phrases, if you can think off the top of your head, that have appeared in your art? What are some of those phrases?
Now, I can tell that are really fresh. The last one that I made here, it was a wall with another 48 artists in Portugal for the celebration of 48 years of freedom since the end of dictate. And I really thought, what am I going to do here? There are so many things that I can speak about. And I brought my neighborhood. I had a drawing of a building from where I am. And on that building, I put some graffiti that was actually phrases from the kids that I just had made a project with them in my school. So let me try and translate the father makes, the mother raises, and the hood teaches.
I love it.
That's one. And I was like, man, this is really powerful.
I think that's what I'm going to call this episode, The Hood Teaches.
The Hood Teaches, exactly. Because though normally the kids that I work most of the times, they are from like neighborhoods that are more difficult, even economic and stuff. And normally those kids, they don't have a lot of time to be kids. So in the middle of that innocent and not being able to be kids, they come up with like these things that I don't even think that they are conscious of what they are saying, what they are writing, because they write that on a piece of paper and they are capable of like shredding it, throwing it to the trash, and like, oh, man, this is philosophy, this is poetry, this is everything.
What do you think your impact on those kids is going to be? Have they come back and told you? Has any kid reached out to you and been like, man, I love coming to work for you, and this is why?
Not like after they worked with me, because I don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm, they are not really grown up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, I get those things, and I have the need to cry sometimes. No, I get really emotional. Yeah. But yes, like for instance, I had this project that I was talking about, and they say things just come out of their mouths. I don't think they are like wanting to, I'm gonna say something really beautiful to her so that she, it comes out. Mm-hmm. And they were like, speaking to the teacher, it was the teacher that called the other teacher where I share the room, called me, Sarah, listen what they just said. She was like, are you liking this project, this stuff? And the kid was, yes, I really like it, but like totally not compromise. Yes, I really like it because, for instance, when I'm in math, if I don't know math, I'm bad. Mm-hmm. You see, I have a bad grade in the test. And in here, I don't have to know math. I have to bring me, my stories. And that's the whole point of that project. Mm-hmm. It's just bring your stories, because your school is not different thing from your house, your community. It should all be connected. That's my belief. And I think that people don't get interest in school, especially people in the kids in those neighborhoods, sons of immigrants, people of color, everything. I think they feel it, especially because when you go to the school here in Europe, you don't listen to your stories, where you came from. And when you do, it's just about the misery and everything that's bad that's happening, the diseases now we talk about. Mm-hmm. And they don't have money and they have big belly. And you don't hear the greatness of where you came from. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you go to the school in the books, your family is not there. And then when you go to your house, the things that are in your school, they are not in your house. And the worst thing of all for me is that there is a judgment on what is good and what is bad.
Exactly.
And when you are young, you learn that.
So tell me from that standpoint, as we're going to wrap this up right here, I wish we could go on for like 2 hours. Give me a message that you'd like to tell the world about art, where you're from, and what people can do with it, or how people tell their own story through art.
You're asking me a lot of tough questions.
Loaded questions, right?
Yeah. To simplify. So, a message that I would like to offer about art. Mm-hmm. So, I think it could be really complex, but I will try, as I say to my little students, that art doesn't have to make any point. And for me, that's the wonderful thing. You don't have to clock in, you see, and it's not math, it's not science where they think you are supposed to reach one answer, right? So you can just do it. And in that process of doing it, of expressing yourself or seeing other people's expressions, sometimes you are learning about yourself, you are learning about your world. And what I do in particular, I use art to heal myself, to understand myself. It's like when the world gets too crazy, too hard, I dilute it with art, and that I learn with Odrelord. So part of the message, read Odrelord. Do, even if you don't consider yourself an artist. Just do, go see, because when we are talking about ourselves, our world, we are pointing out some of the times what are the problems, what can be changed, what is missing us, what we have a lot and we can share. I don't know, we have a lot of things, you see, but that's what I think art does. It shows you that, hey, this is happening. What are you going to do about it? Or do you want to do something about it? I don't know. But here is a statement. It's happening because I'm feeling it.
I love it. Now, and last thing, can people find your art anywhere? Do you have a website? Do you have an Instagram page? If so, where can people find you? Where can people get more of Sarah and this message about art? and all the beautiful things, Portugal and Cape Verde.
For now, I have only my Insta. It's petra.preta. Mm-hmm. But I'm working on a website, mm-hmm. so that I, because Instagram, you can only put
right.
like a little moment.
Yeah.
And I think everything is connected. So I don't want just to share my work. I want to share the work of the people that help me create.
I love it. And don't worry, listeners, we're going to put that Instagram link in the show notes so that you can get all the good stuff that we just talked about here and actually like see her. Really experienced some of the things she's experienced. Sarah, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you to no end. Peace, love, and light to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm really grateful to know you, to be here, and that you are letting me be heard.
Hey, it's all your message. Yeah. I'm glad. I'm honored I can put it out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hunger and Art Podcast. Produced by Hunger Center of Artistic Research. Guest host, Brian Perkin. Narrated by Anka Oshurelu. Music provided by Universal. For more information about Hunger, check out our Instagram at Hunger_CIA. That's Hunger, Hangar_CIA. Or check out our website, hunger.com.pt.